Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop
it.
Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing. We have to be vigilant. We have to be observing. We have to be analyzing and evaluating and making sure that our rights being met, our human rights, our constitutional rights, and our civil rights. And a lot of people don't know what their rights are. And that's why we have this radio talk show, so we can talk about different people's rights. And what are your rights? What can you do and what can't you do? And it's very helpful. It's very educational, very knowledgeable. On our show, it's the Real Deal Holyfield. There's no smoking guns. I have gone completely bananas on some of the stuff that's been going on lately. And we have some very important topics on our show. And today's topics are going to make you think about your future. These topics are going to make you think about your future. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, First Lady Felita Wills. Good morning, Sister Mary. How are you? I am honored beyond words to have you both with us on the show this morning. And Ms. Felita Wills, we're not going to go, this week will not end without me calling you about some of those super vitamins, okay? You have my word on that. Yes, hallelujah, praise God. We're so honored to have you on. Before we go all the way deep into our show, I don't know if some of you know or not, but I want to share some very important information, and then we're going to go in, get our co-producers in. Rosalynn Carter, First Lady Rosalynn Carter, the wife of President Carter, has passed away. Yes, she passed away. Good morning. Good morning. Eleanor Rosalynn Carter was an American writer and activist who served as the First Lady of the United States from 1977 to 1981 as the wife of President Jimmy Carter. For decades, she was in public service. She was a leading advocate for numerous causes, including mental health. And that's a big topic on our show, mental health. She died on November the 19th, 2023 in Plains, Georgia. And she was born in August the 18th, 1927 in Plains, Georgia. She was Hall of Fame. She was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2001. And she founded the Carter Center, the Vaccinate Your Family. She leaves behind grandchildren, Hugo, James, Wenzel, Jason Carter, and more. And great-grandchildren, Thomas Clyde Carter, Henry Louis Carter. And she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award throughout her work, and her list of things that she did for mental health goes on and on and on. And so with that being said, I want to get into the studio this morning. Clarence M. Allen, welcome to the show, Brother Clarence M. Allen. How are you this morning? Good morning, Brother Clarence. Are you there?
Okay. Good morning, Pastor Eddie. I want to say good morning to all our panelists who will be coming. But most and foremost, I want to say good morning to all our listeners, followers throughout each state, around this nation, and even around the world. Pastor Eddie, these hot-button topics you have opened up this morning, man, you bring it from the tip of the spear. You are the first to approach these topics and bring the light to us, Pastor Eddie. So I am delighted, man. I'm grateful. I am even blessed to be aboard the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, your show, Pastor Eddie, my show, and everybody's show who tunes in and listens in later on, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Show. Thanks for having me again, Pastor Eddie.
It's an honor and a pleasure. And Brother Clarence, can you do me a favor? Can you reach out to Professor Reams? I don't see him in the queue, so can you reach out to Professor Reams this morning? And thank you, Brother Clarence. Welcome. I want you to, before you reach out to Professor Reams, I want to get the others in the studio while you're doing that, and then I want to get your opinion on the passing of First Lady Carter. Without further ado, let's get none other than Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, our health specialist. Good morning, Vera. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Eddie. I am happy to be on the show, and good morning to the co-hosts and all of the listeners. Happy
Amen.
Monday.
Brother Clarence, say good morning to Vera. Vera, say good morning to Clarence.
Good morning, the regulator.
Oh, the regulator. Oh, I sent them on that mission for Professor Reams. But without further ado, let's get into Talana Jones, and her segment of the show is called Words of Wisdom. Good morning, Talana Jones. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dad. Good morning to Aunt Vera, my Dr. Granny V. And good morning to Professor Reams. Shout out to you. I hope that you're listening. Good morning, Clarence, and good morning to everyone out in the midst, and Pastor Ramsey, God bless you. Shout out to Chief Apostle Curry and everybody who was on Facebook and Instagram. Good morning, everybody.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody says good morning. Go ahead, Vera. Go right ahead, Vera.
I was saying good morning to Talana. I said my butterfly.
All right.
Good morning, butterfly.
I'll start off with you, Vera. The First Lady Carter, Rosalynn Carter, passed away on November the 19th. She was the president. She was the First Lady from 1977 to 1981. And why does 1977 ring a bell? That's the year I graduated from Susan Miller Dorsey High School, 1977. Go ahead, Vera. What do you want to say about First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who was one of the great advocates for mental health? Go right ahead.
Well, I just want to say that it's an honor to have had her in the White House and to do so much for the nation. To me, she carried herself like a queen. So she portrayed an image that we all can learn from. And I am so happy and grateful because mental health has been here all this time. And she started, she was the one that started advocating for those with mental health. So it was a blessing to have shared moments.
Well, thank you so much, Vera. Thank you so very much. And Talana, I know this is a little bit before your time, because the reason why 1981 is special to me, because that's the year that you were born. So without further ado, Talana, what do you want to say about First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who passed away, who was an advocate for mental health? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
I love you, Dad, but please never do that again.
I won't.
thank you.
That's right. We
I
should
just
never
want to say God bless Ms. Rosalynn Carter and all of her family for her work and well doing in the mental health field. I have not heard the news. The first I've ever hearing the mention of Ms. Rosalynn Carter. So I just want to say God bless her, and I pray for all of her family.
Amen, amen. And without further ado, let's see. Clarence, are you back with us, Clarence? Are you there?
Yes, I am, Professor Eddie.
All
yes,
right.
Rosalynn Carter, she was a staple of First Ladies. Her service as the wife of President of the United States was exemplary for being a First Lady, the way she did service in the community. Her and President Jimmy Carter, they had this organization, House for Habitats, and they built homes for people who couldn't afford them free. And all they asked the person was to come out and help volunteer to build. Yeah, I mean, it was just one nailer, carrying a board, whatever you could do. And excuse me. I remember even me and my wife a couple of decades ago even applied, although we didn't get chosen, but it was just a blessing that people, and they didn't care the color of your skin, your nature, any of that. And then they became international humanitarians by going all over the world and helping people in countries that were, you know, so poor, to bring the water, to bring education, to bring supplies to live. And so she was just a tremendous woman to be remembered. She will be a name that will be forever in history, not just in America, but also in the countries that she touched. So God bless the Carter family. And the thing about it that, you know, was kind of shocking to me, she was just put in hospice, just I believe was Friday. And then to pass away, I believe maybe was yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, she passed away two days after being in hospice.
Yes, and so, you know, and it's just a phenomenal thing. So God bless that entire family. You know, God bless the people who will be touched in whatever way by her passing. But, you know, it's just, we just have to give thanks for anyone who could live to be, I believe it was 96 years or 99, one of those. But
yes.
A phenomenal thing you've done just to announce her and give her recognition.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. And without further ado, and also thank you for reaching out to Professor Reams. Without further ado, let's bring in our professor, Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Yes, good morning, Pastor Jones. And to apologize, but we're having our student meetings, which are very interlocutory for our accreditation. So good morning, good morning, good morning. Also to the listeners, and I've been hearing about the passing of Rosalynn Carter. So it's just been one of these days. It's bittersweet, but it's also a wonderful, wonderful tribute to a lady who's lived 96 years and all the hard work that she's done. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Professor Reams. Everybody say good morning to Professor Reams. Welcome you to the show, Professor.
Good morning, Professor Reams.
Good morning,
Professor
Reams. Dr. Brandy.
Good morning.
The regulator. Good morning to Lana.
So to First Lady Rosalynn Carter for doing such a wonderful job, let's give her a big hand if we can. Just wanted to celebrate her life. She brought a lot of attention to mental health, and mental health has evolved into it being not taboo like it used to be. A lot of people talk about it. A lot of people do things about it. They have meetings on it. They have organizations. It's really a wonderful thing to know that a person can have a mental health disability and still get up and go to work or still participate in functioning, you know, like everybody else. So my hat's off to First Lady Rosalynn Carter, and also President Carter is still alive. So you know how it goes. Like sometimes, unfortunately, one person will pass after being together so long, the other person just kind of, you know, goes not much longer after that person. And, you know, I also want to honor my Uncle John and my Aunt Virginia, who have been married for 71 years. Yes, that's right. Now, this is on my wife's side of the family. I want to shout my wife out. But on my wife's side of the family, Uncle John and Auntie Virginia, I want to shout you guys out. And I'm going to say this on the show. I'm going to work on getting Uncle John, who opened up a construction company when it wasn't back in the 1962 or 61, they just did a big thing, a big write-up on him. So I want him to get the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. He is 90-something years old, and he's still alive and healthy and well. And plus, they've been married for 71 years, which is unheard of these days. So that's worth receiving that award. So I'll be talking to the powers that be to see if we can get that done. Without further ado, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. We're going to be moving into our first topic. And this is going to get sensitive, okay? Our first topic is microchip enslavement or human control. Everything you say or do, I will be watching you. Body surveillance, implantations. So they're saying that these little microchips will be the size of a piece of rice, the size of a piece of rice. And it will be body surveillance. That's right, because once you get the chip inside of you, oh, Mary says she's been married for 43 years. Congratulations, Mary, that's beautiful. That is wonderful to be married 43 years. That's what I call commitment with a capital commitment. And don't stop, go on and shoot for 70. Amen, praise God. We're talking about microchips that are being used already on people in different countries right now. It's been out for years, but now they're trying to figure out a way where they can put it on in you and they don't have any repercussions or reactions from the chip. And so a lot of people from different countries, hey, Auntie Gloria, how are you? Welcome to the show. This microchip, I call it body surveillance. It's a human microchip implantations, and they'll be putting them in you real, real, real soon. Hey, good morning, Sheila Timberlake, Susan Miller Dorsey High School in the house. Right on, right on. They will be using those microchips, which I call body surveillance. And I just want to read something to you really quick. Implanted microchips can store users with medical information, financial, and other personal information, and provide users with easy and quick access to various locations and items. While adopted for their convenience outside of the healthcare sector, these invasive, semi-permanent, implantable devices create augmented bodies that can be subject to surveillance. Situating human microchip implantations within surveillance literature, we draw from neoliberal perspectives of surveillance to examine our bodies, particularly as sources for market activity and as such subjects in social control. Sorting when these are connected to our bodies, we are then, of course, even with our cell phones, we are becoming cyborgs. Because once they put that chip, whether it's in your hand, up under your cheekbone, behind your ear, wherever they put this implant, your medical information will be in there, your financial information, your banking information, your blood pressure, your heart rate, where you're going, where you've been, if you're in a certain room of your house, that wherever that chip is, they will be able to survey you. They will know what you're doing and where you are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, as long as you have that implant, that microchip implant in your body. And with that being said, and for those who did not get the topic is microchip enslavement or human control. Everything you say or do, I will be watching you. Body surveillance implantations. And with that being said, I want to go right to Professor Reams, who knows a whole lot, I'm sure, about these microchips that they're using. And they're doing it right now as we speak. Without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. How do you feel about microchip enslavement? And when I say enslavement, I mean you will be a slave to whoever is observing you through these microchips. Go right ahead, Professor. Take the floor.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Jones. My first response is that I don't like it because, again, it violates everyone's privacy and the ability to have the freedom to live and even follow through the good Lord's journey. So right off the bat, no, I do not want this to happen, and I'll be fighting like heck to make sure that we preserve our privacy. But one thing about this is that you're dealing with, as you've mentioned, it's a grain of salt, and it would be commonly put in the gap between your thumb and your forefinger. And in doing so, it would have to latch onto somewhere in the body or in that spot only. The good thing is that the good Lord has come in and said that a lot of the technology now, as you mentioned earlier, is making people sick or it's causing cancer or there's a reaction that goes to it. So if it's having these negative effects, this is what can be used to protest against it, because what it was identified to do is now causing people to get ill, which would result in massive lawsuits against the companies. So the question comes up is that, and, you know, they have examples of as Swedish operators and folks in Europe trying this for simple things within the kiosk. Two things that comes to a bit of an issue. The infrastructure that would be needed to put all of this stuff in would take almost decades or so to put it into the stores and all these other things in general. Secondly, these technologies, unless it's well coordinated, would have to have one company that fits the whole bill, which has all the control, and then that leads to the major privacy issues of who's in real control. Is it the company or is it the government overall?
Right.
And then that, and when you have that level of control and you have a lever of, as we talked about, the Illuminati's, then you've mentioned definitely it would be control and enslavement. And in doing that, then that means you would have to have folks willing to do this. In this regard, this is the one reason why you have the Second Amendment, to try and guard your freedoms, because I do not know of many, you know, there might be a few pockets here and there, that would want to have all their information literally in their fingertips to be mm-hmm. scanned, which would have the possibility where it could be hacked into and your identity could be taken away from you. Okay. The other aspect is if you have such a system, you would have a set of satellites. But once again, our satellites tend to stay only for so long and then fall into the earth because of the sun. So mm-hmm. there's another disruption that would occur that would keep something like this from happening. Could it be done under cable? Possibly. But once again, you still have to have a source, a central location that's controlling all this stuff, and that to control 300 million people or to control billions of people would have to be the size of the earth itself. Okay. So you can try and build this infrastructure, but you're wasting your time trying to force people unless they have consented to this. That's why they can come up with some of these things. But as you can see, the human spirit has a tendency to reject, to rebel against these, and that's why it is important that we have leaders that are for democracy instead of authoritarianism, because you could see this fitting into an authoritarian regime. You can see it in a democratic, in one sense, if people have agreed to it. If they haven't agreed to it, then we're talking about all-out conflict between the two. And technically speaking, it would be very easy if they put it in to find a way of taking it out from your body, because while we think that we have the technology that we do, it is still far from it being a organic chip that can then migrate onto your skin and into your bones and then be absorbed into your bones where you'd have to remove that bone. We're not there. We're not there yet, even though they're thinking about it. So my thoughts that what definitely should be done is, as you've done, bring it out on this show, is that this is something that society has to ask the whole question on. Why is it necessary that we have this level of control of people?
Yes.
There doesn't seem to be any reason for that unless there's a fear of the future or fear that the leader, as you've seen, and I'm looking at number 45, is in himself a very, or she, a very insecure person that requires that there must be ultimate control in order for that person to feel in control. That is the only thing behind it, because it doesn't make any sense. First, number one, in society, we already know that we're going to that our aspirations is to achieve to be a good Samaritan for the countries that we live in. One, we also will get a job. We get educated so we can contribute back into society. Now, if we're willing and wholeheartedly doing this based out of the love for the country, there is no reason for further control.
Right.
So the question is, why and what's going on, unless there is that central hate or disdainment for human beings having a free spirit? So this is the big question that society has to reckon with, because there are some positive things that a chip might do, because we already put it in our dogs to try and identify where they're going. Or
right.
you can put it in an item where if you lose it, you can use your phone to find out where you lost your car keys. That's fine. But when you're trying to enslave and or control people, that's not fine, and that means we're looking at a world order which has very little loving for the human spirit and only is interested in its own self-control and self-gratification of being in control. So this is where prayer, preparation, and getting out there and staying on that front line so that we're – not, we're at the table, but not on the menu of being put, having chips placed on us as part of that menu, really makes a difference. So the so what happens when this does occur? Often in science fiction, it's depicted where society has given itself over to the authoritarian or the oligarch, and they are fearful of other people because of either crime or war or whatever is in general in these stories, only to find out that their own fear, they are their worst enemies because of their fear, because the what is have placed them in a situation of paralysis where they believe that everything has to be controlled. So,
right.
So this circumstances is that not only are we talking about this in a negative way, but across the nation, average people are, when you speak to them and say, do you want this chip and do you want this done? Because, of course, if we look in the book of Revelations, that's another way to put the mark of 666 somewhere in the chip overall. And it means that domination is the next step. They're not in favor of any of this because, again, they were brought into this world. God had a gift for them, and they want to fulfill it based on that feeling of achievement, of love, and working with their families, and to be the best that they can be, not controlled by a person who is always watching them 24 hours a day. For what reason?
Wow.
So with that, Pastor Jones, it's, we can, look, the hammer tools, all of these tools are neutral, but it comes back down to the human beings that are using these tools and the reason why they need the tools in the first place. So we have to do a self, look ourselves in the mirror as a society and say, what exactly do we want to do? Because this is certainly not coming from God. This is, again, wow, man trying to play God again. So that's why it's important that we put in prayer, but also do preparation, but also look at the big picture of what and where do we need to be as a society moving forward. And with that,
right,
Pastor Jones, I yield back to you.
Wow, that was amazing information. Thank you so much. Thank you. That was some amazing information. Okay, so all the listeners out there, thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Elaine. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. We're on a very sensitive topic. We're talking about microchip enslavement or human control. Everything you say and do, I will be watching you. Body surveillance implantations. That's right. They're taking microchips. And, we have a dog. We have a blue nose pit, and he already has his chip. And they put it in right up on his neck. And we know where he is at all times. And it's so important that we remember never to forget that these microchips are going to be used to survey God's people. And some people don't want to take these things and say, hey, okay, I'm going to take the chip. No, a lot of people don't want the chip because they know that with the chip there comes surveillance and they're watching you and they know where you are. Your banking information will be in that chip. Your health records will be in that chip. The government will know everywhere you go and everything you do, the government will be on you. And I'm not putting the government down. I'm not putting the entity of businesses down that will be selling these chips. And a lot of people want to know, well, how much will a chip be? Well, from what I see here, wait, hold on, let's go back. The basic microchip that will be put inside of your human body will be about starting off between $150 to $200. Now imagine all your information is in this chip and they put it between your thumb and your finger and the fatty part of your hand right here, right there. And
you just go about your normal day because you don't even realize it. Pretty soon you forget that the chip is inside of you. But this is what they're doing, and they're already testing it. They've been testing it, and what they want to do is make sure that the human body doesn't have any reactions to taking the microchip. They want you to take that chip, and then once they get that chip in you, no matter where you go, you will not be able to hide. Because as Professor Reem said, the satellites up there are going to be, the chips will be controlled by the satellites. And that means that they know wherever you are, whatever you're doing, who you're with and who you're not with, what kind of food you eat, how much food you eat, if you eat healthy or if you eat bad, your blood pressure, your heart rate. This chip will be able to give out a lot of personal information. So with that being said, I'd like to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor and give us your take on what you feel about the chip. Before you do, Vera, hold on. If you want to call into the show, you want to call into our show and you want to tune in or you want to make a statement about what we're talking about, you dial 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064. I see you, Brother James Hudson, out there all the way. I see you, Auntie Gloria. I see you, Anika. I see you, everybody out there. Thank you for joining us. First Lady Felita Wiltz, thank you. Pastor Elaine, thank you for joining us. Everybody is on. We appreciate you. Everybody is on Blog Talk Radio. Again, call in 646-787-8064. Press 1. We'll put you in the queue, and you can either make a statement or ask a question about what we're talking about. And we will definitely, definitely answer your question to the best of our ability. Vera, please take the floor. What do you feel about being microchipped? Go ahead.
Eddie, no, thank you. But we all knew and felt that it was coming. Because if you can remember, well, back in the days, the satellites was so we can watch TV and then later computers, and we had pagers. And with the new technology, of course, our cell phones, you guys remember we used to go to a phone booth all the time, put the dimes in or a quarter? You can't do that now. Yeah, so the privacy part that Professor Rames was mentioning, oh, no, thank you. I am not one for it.
Thank you so much, Vera. Thank you. Now, if you want to, you can tag 10 people if you don't mind on Facebook Live. We're on Facebook Live at Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live, and we're also live on Instagram, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram. So please join us, and then you could call in and listen in on your phone at 646-787-8064. Or if you want to go online on your computer, you go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. On the search, you type in Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S, and you'll be right in with us and join us. We would love to have you. It'd be an honor and a pleasure. We're talking about microchips being placed on the human anatomy. I feel like it's a form of enslavement, and this is just my opinion. I feel like it's a form of human control because it's surveillance implantations. That's what I feel like a microchip is. It's an implant that will tell people where you are and what you're doing. You already have an implant because you have a cell phone. And people don't believe it, but cell phones can do things you can't even imagine. And that's the reason why they call it a smartphone, because that phone is smart, okay? And sometimes you just do something on the phone and you don't even know you did it. And the phone is taking your algorithms, mimicking your voice. It knows what kind of sandwich you like. If you say, I like a cold cut sandwich, and then 4 days along you start talking about it, and all of a sudden it pops up on your phone, a sandwich, a cold cut sandwich, all of a sudden. So technology is advancing and advancing and advancing, and I do believe this might be Brother Hudson. Let's get him in the studio. Without further ado, caller in the 832-880 area code, are you there?
Good morning. How are we doing there, Brother Eddie? James Hudson.
Brother James Hudson, everybody, let's say hello to James Hudson, everybody.
Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Good morning, James Huffman. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mr. Huffman.
No doubt. Great, great family. It's good to be with you guys again.
Amen, amen. So what do you feel about this microchip, Brother James? What do you think about, do you think they're trying to enslave us with the microchip, control us with the microchip? Do you feel like it's a surveillance implant that will be added onto the human body so they can follow our every move?
Yeah. You know something? I was looking last night. I was looking at a movie. And if you really pay attention to a lot of times with these movies that will predict the future, a lot of things that they've been telling you for years that these things were going to happen, like way before the computer came out. You can look at a movie and they would show you a device that would have to be able to do all the things that a computer can do. I was looking at a movie last night where I look at all these cop movies, but anyway, I was looking at this movie last night where they were showing how these alpha drug dealers in Atlanta, they would feel underneath their car for those trackers that those cops put underneath your car to track you everywhere that you're going. So I learned a lot from just watching that and how they would how when they were doing a drug deal, they would turn their phones off and even throw their phones away because they're being monitored. And it showed how the police is sitting listening to everything that you're saying, and that's how they're catching these drug deals. They've got them on tape talking about this is happening and that's happening, and you don't realize they've tapped into all of your systems. And I'm just saying that to say what you're talking about, those chips, that's just going a whole nother level. But it is definitely, it is not that it's just coming, it is already here. And usually these things are already here 10 years before we even know about it, because the government don't tell you about it until they want you to know, until it's just obvious. Like right now you're on the cusp of what people will say, oh, I don't know about that. I don't think that's true. They can't do that type of stuff. You know, we said that about a lot of things, and now look what's happening. You see what I'm saying? Look at all the things you can do with an iPhone. And, you know, 30 years ago, you would think, oh, no way, there's not going to be no phone where you can just pull up all this type of information, do all these type of things with da-da-da-da-da. But now, you see what I'm saying? It has come to fruition. So it is real, my brother. People are going to wake up to it. But it is the sign of the times. They're finding ways to be able to monitor you, to track you, just like you have all these issues with when you're online because the government is checking out everything that you're doing, and when they don't like what you're saying, they'll interrupt it some type of way. That is the government doing that, man. And people can say whatever they want to. I'm telling you that's what's happening. But I just want to just give my little feedback on that because, again, you guys are on top of it. I'm glad to see that some people are trying to stay way ahead, at least warning people. It's your job to put it out there. Look, it's my job to tell you you can take it to the bank or you can just, you know, be caught blindsided.
Right.
Because it is definitely going to happen. So, like you said, it's your job to throw it out there and let people have their little opinions about it. But believe me, there's so much that is going on right underneath our noses that we know nothing about. They're not going to come out and tell you all these things that they're doing to monitor your every movement, everything that you're actually doing and all this kind of stuff. And technology, man, you know, the government is on top of that. I mean, they way ahead of us. Way ahead of us. They're doing some stuff that will just blow your mind right now. You're like, oh, my God. Yeah, like you said, with those satellites, they can pinpoint where you are, where you're moving. Oh, man, it's just so many things. But if you look at these movies, a lot of those movies will detect, they'll tell you what is actually happening. You can sit there laughing at that stuff thinking it ain't true, but it is true. It is true. And they can do these things. Yeah, even with these UFOs now, if you notice, the government is not starting to come out saying, well, yeah, there are some things out there we don't know anything about that we've seen, da-da-da-da, because they know people see these things all the time. And so
That's now
they've got to admit, you know, you got the pilots in the plane saying, wait a minute, what was that? That ain't no plane. What is that? You know, and so now they're coming out with these movies saying, oh, let me show you all the stuff that we've seen. That you guys don't know nothing about. So I just wanted to throw my little piece out there, man. God bless you guys for everything that y'all are doing. You know, I listen to the show religiously, so y'all are doing a great job, and God bless you, man.
Man, God bless you, man. You know, Brother James Hudson, man, we are honored to have you on, man. Every time you come on, let's give you a hand, brother. Let's give Brother James Hudson a hand.
Yeah, yeah. We're honored to have you on. Really quick, I want to say this. The Epic Center in Stockholm, Sweden, is using implants for their employees to operate security doors, copiers, and pay for their lunch. So they're using implants on people in Sweden at a company called the Epic Center in Stockholm, Sweden. And I'm just looking up all the countries. In Australia, they're using the chips. They're using the microchips on people in Australia right now. You have a group of people who don't mind being guinea pigs for microchips. And what they're doing with the microchip, they're using it to grocery shop, to do their banking, to do their doctor's appointments, to pinpoint where they are. They're following their diets. Everything is in that microchip, all your info. And the other thing they're working on is making sure that the implant will not infect the body, you know, like cause cancer or cause some sort of big infection. So be very, very careful and be very mindful that you have a chip in your phone. So they already have you on your phone. The moment you turn your phone on, even if you turn off maps, they still know where you are. I want to send a shout out to my son, Elijah One. Hey, man, thank you for joining us on Instagram. And also thank you, Sister Kimmins, for joining us on Instagram. And also everyone that's on Facebook, thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. We're talking about being chipped, microchipped. And how close are we to it? Really, really close. They're working out all the legal and illegal things that can happen if you have a chip inside of you. But let me tell you something. You're talking about the mark of the beast. We're not sure if it's the implant, but it's pretty close to it. All entities of people who own satellites up there and all the companies that make chips will also own you too. I know that sounds unbelievable. I know you're like, oh, no, that can't happen. Yes, it can. With that being said, I want to go to Talana Jones. Talana, how do you feel about the microchip? Go right ahead.
I really agree with the rest of the panel. I don't agree with chipping or microchipping. It's a violation of our privacy, and I think that they're already watching us through our phones. So I'm not for the microchipping. I really believe that that's just another form of programming, and it also entails that the higher-ups, the billionaires, the people who are keeping up with technology and the satellite that is in space, clearly have a different outlook when it comes to the future of technology. So it's not really a good idea. I don't think enslaving people doesn't make them any better or change them or anything. So, I mean, even with the microchip, it says to me also we can be programmed. So, no, Dad, I don't agree, and I yield back.
Thank you, Talana. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Now, with that being said, I want to go to none other than Regulate the Manual, our dear brother, Clarence. Brother Clarence, take the floor. Microchip enslavement, human control, surveillance implantations. What do you say about microchipping human beings? Go right ahead, Brother Clarence.
Yeah, first let me just commend you, Pastor Eddie, for bringing such an important topic that maybe some of us may not have thought of, may not know of or heard of. And for some of us that have heard of, it's just so much information to acquire just to even get an inside look at it. You know, from the moment we were born, our microcells within our mind were being influenced by the things we saw and heard, even though we didn't quite understand them. But as our understanding was built, we were influenced by many things in our lives. You know, I think our greatest idol was our parents. You know, we want to be like our mom and our dad, and then
those of us who had siblings, you know, we had those relationships which helped influence and encourage who our personality, what our characteristic would be. And then our school education, you know, and playing sports and, you know, we all have been influenced, encouraged, shaped, and molded into the person that we were going to be in. It's, whether it's through the media, the internet, television, radio, magazines, newspaper, the music we listen to, the language that we hear and use, and the things that we see, it all shapes and conditions us to prepare us for these things that we're talking about. And Pastor Eddie, you know, over this time of this show, you have talked about the digital technology. You know, we talked about artificial intelligence on this show. Even
yes.
during the pandemic, we talked about the microbytes, the nanobytes they will be using. And here we go now with these microchips, which is just another form of these nanobytes. And so when we look at microchips and nanochips, they are smaller than the pore of the skin. So we don't need to get a shot to be infected or injected with this. It could
Come
be
on,
just a mere Band-Aid from the doctor. It could be in the food we eat. It could be distributed from these planes exhaust. You know, can't think of that word, but we know that white exhaust that they emit from the air. So
yeah.
we have no idea how they're infecting us. And then, you know, you spoke about these phones, how they are always listening. Because I remember one night, me and my wife was having a conversation, and my phone intervened and commented on our conversation, and we were just shocked. So when we look at this, and then when we look at these industries, when you mentioned the government, and then we look at some of these corporations, some of them are sinister. Some of them are so diabolical. You know, look, we just 3 years ago, the world was held hostage with this coronavirus, and it's still held hostage because of the vaccine has to be paid, and all the governments paid for that. So when we look at this nanochip, and when you mentioned that my dogs have nanochips in them, or microchips, or whatever you want to call it. So when
yes.
we look at this, man, and now with the AI, these things are able to function and to receive information from whatever entity control them, you know.
Wow.
So it can be used for many forms, from medication to control the mind, thought of a person, to make them even sick and die, or to make them stronger and well. And so when you bring this topic up, Pastor Eddie, I'm not going to be surprised, because last week we talked about a young man who was jumped on, and then the day or two after I saw it all over in the media. So I won't be surprised later on this week and maybe a week from down the road that there will be this same subject, because you are the spear tip here with bringing hot topic button information that, I mean, we wake up, we wouldn't even know nothing about it until we read what the radio show topics are going to be about. So when we look at this microchip, man, this is phenomenal. And Pastor Reams, Talana, Vera, Brother James Hudson, man, James Bond ain't got nothing on you. I saw you on that speedboat, man. You were doing it. And so, you know, Pastor Eddie, this is just another phenomenal topic that we all need to be awakened to, educate ourselves with, and be prepared for, just in case, like Professor Reams said, we will have to stand up and defend ourselves against this new technology that's here now. It's already here. And, you know, I was looking at the subject matter. You was talking about these robotic armies that's being built. And so, man,
yeah.
I had to commend you again, Pastor Eddie. Thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you, Brother Clarence. Let's give Brother Clarence a hand. Thank you, Brother
Clarence.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I remember
I remember when I was going to church as a child, the pastor would always say, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And my father always said, honesty brings clarity and transparency in any conversation when you're honest and with clarity and transparency. And I want to be very honest about these microchips. They are out of our control. They are completely out of our control. It will come a time when you want to buy groceries or you need to get food or supplies. If you don't have that chip, you won't be able to get the food or the supplies. You won't be able to go to certain areas or do certain things because you didn't accept the chip. So I want you to read up on these microchips. Read up on human control, because it's just like a cattle call. It's just like when they had the Pestilence 19. I call it the Pestilence 19 because I don't want to offend the government. But when they had the Pestilence 19, all of a sudden they had emergency inoculations. They didn't say that these are certified by the CDC. They said these are emergency inoculations. I did not take that prick. I'm not knocking anyone who did, but I did not take that because inside that were nano micro particles, which means that it goes inside your body and it starts to do what it needs to do and form its own way of doing what it has to do to your body. And unfortunately, we have lost so many people who have taken those inoculations. And I'm going to leave that right there. Will I put the microchip in my hand or in my, wherever they want to put it, behind my neck? Or, no. With a capital N-O, no. I won't. Okay? Unless I know every single thing about it. Other than that, all I can say is be careful and be aware that in the next following weeks, months, and years, they will have these little places where you can go and try it out and see if you like it. Just like a brand new car or a brand new bicycle or whatever. You can come try it out. See if you like the microchip. The wave of the future. You don't have to carry a wallet anymore. You don't need to carry any kind of documentation. Everything you do, say and do will be in that chip. Okay, so just let that be food for thought. Let that sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. And I'm so glad that you are with us today. Again, if you want to call in like our dear brother James Hudson did just a few minutes ago, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you in the queue and weigh in on this very, very important sensitive topic. And remember, it's just like when they came out with certain things, they said, oh, we're coming out with the iPhone 15. Everybody, people sleep outside to get that microchip, that latest iPhone with the chip in it that keeps advancing. It's a robot. It's a handheld robot that has extremely many, many capabilities, some that we can't even figure out. We don't know all the things that Apple phone, iPhone can do, but it can do some amazing, justifying feats. And you need to read, because if you have that phone and it's in your hand, you wake up and you take it everywhere you go, now you're a cyborg. You have your robotic part connected to your body. With that being said, we're going to move on to our next topic, and our next topic is a very important, sensitive topic. these can become civil rights violations. Taking a microchip can become a human rights violation if you don't want to take it, and they force you to. They say you can't get on the mothership unless you take the chip. You can't go to get your groceries you can't order from Amazon. You can't order from none of these big places unless you take the chip. Think about it. And thank you, Brother James Hudson. Man, you hit the nail on the head. You dropped some very pertinent, important information that was very, very well well absorbed and taken in. It did not fall on deaf ears. Trust me. Now, here's our second topic. I don't know if you ever heard of Boston Dynamics. If you haven't heard of Boston Dynamics, you need to read about Boston Dynamics. Who is Boston Dynamics? Well, our second topic is Boston Dynamics is building a super robot army. A super robot army. They have a robot called Big Dog. They have a Big Dog 1 and a Big Dog 2. Amen. Blessings to you, Brother James Hudson. They have a one called the Cheetah, and it can run really fast. It can run fast. It's a robot. They have one called Spot Robot, which is like a surveillance robot. They have one called Sparta Robot. They have one called Mutt Robot, which walks with the military, and it has weapons on it, and it assists the military troops from being to keep them alive. And then they have one called the Atlas, and it's a military robot. They will make soldiers eventually obsolete. Now, I'm going to name these robots one more time. They're all made by Boston Dynamics. One is called the Super Robot, and it's called the Super Robot Army. And then they have the Big Dog Robot. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I'm going to show you something today. Then they have Big Dog 2. And then they have the Cheetah. They have the Spot Robot, the Sparta Robot, the Mutt Robot, the Atlas Military Robot. And eventually they will make soldiers obsolete. Eventually you will not have to send not one human being into the field to fight. It's going to be all robotic and autonomous vehicles, autonomous robots, the Cheetah. You can look them up right now. Cousin V, oh my gosh, on Facebook Live. Cousin V, if we don't get the sports report from you today, I don't know what I'm going to do. I did the sports report last week, but I can't do it like you. Call in. We need you. Cousin V, everybody say hi to Cousin V. Everybody say hello to Cousin V. Amen.
Hello, Cousin V. Good morning.
Hello, Cousin V.
Cousin V, call in.
Yeah, call in. Call in. We're going to give Cousin V a hand. All the way from Florida. Now, I want to show you something. I want to show you. And just for those who don't believe it. Oops, sorry about that. I want to show you if I can. Let's see if I can turn this around. And I want to show you guys something. And this is called the Atlas Robot. And I want you to, this is what our topic is all about. Now, watch this robot. Watch this robot. This is a robot. Watch it. This is the Atlas Army robot. This is the military robot of the future. Watch what it's doing. And nobody's doing it, but it's doing it all on its own. It's using AI, artificial intelligence, for equilibrium, for movement, for agility, stability, and movement. Nobody's programming it. It's programming itself. It does it, and it evolves on a regular basis. How about that? Okay, I'm going to, with that being said, okay, you saw it. You saw it live on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, so. With that being said, just based on what you just saw alone, that's the Atlas robot. That is one of the Army military robots. With that being said, I want to go to none other than our professor, Professor Reams. Please take the floor.
Like a Hollywood, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we're going to show up. Smoother than a fresh shot.
Okay, let's see. We got a problem here.
Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk gon' give it to you.
Okay, I don't know what just happened, but something just tried to take over the show. I think it was artificial intelligence. I can't believe what just happened. I can't believe what just happened here. Okay. Okay. First of all, let me see. Is everybody there? Is everybody there?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor Jones.
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Gotcha. You know, when we bring and expose these hot-button topics, we're going to be penetrated by a foreign substance.
Oh, my gosh. All I did was show the military Atlas robot, and something took over the show and brought Bruno Mars on. And I don't know where Bruno Mars came from. He just came out of nowhere. I hope he didn't scare anybody away.
The AI Bruno Mars.
yeah, that was the AI Bruno Mars. Cousin B said, I heard Uptown Funk. We do not do Bruno Mars on our show like that. We don't. That was something else. Okay. Excuse me. I so apologize to our listeners from all over the United States and around the world. I did not do that. But we're talking about something that's very important. We're talking about Boston Dynamics and the future super robot army that they already have. I don't want to tell you all of the organizations that have already bought thousands of these Atlas robots. Yes, you will see them on the streets real soon, sooner than you can believe. And if you go to China or Japan, they already have robots walking on the streets. If you watch NFL football games, they have robots sitting out there with the people. I mean, real robots that can wave high and watch the game just like you. And now all they have to do is put the synthetic body covers over there, you know, with the faces and the eyeballs and all that. And now they're pretty soon you'll be seeing them walking right next to you. They'll be riding a bus and everything else, doing security, executive protection, serving food, helping people across the street. And pretty soon a lot of jobs are going to just phase completely out. And the robots will take over because guess what? If you have a company like one of these big super dudes like Jeff Bezos or somebody, and you fire 1,000 workers and you put 500 robots, number one, you don't have to worry about lawsuits anymore. You don't have to worry about people complaining about not getting their break on time. You don't have to worry about giving them a paycheck. You don't have to worry about none of that because now the robots are, they don't need all that. They're not sensitive to anything. They do exactly what they're supposed to do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without no complaints and no union or nothing else. So think about that. These robots will eventually, artificial intelligence robots will eventually evolve into doing things without no help of a man or an engineer or nobody. That's how they're evolving with artificial intelligence as we speak. With that being said, Boston Dynamics, look them up. And Professor Reams, please take the floor. Yes. Elaborate on Boston Dynamics and their robot army and all the robots, the different robots that they have. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Jones. And, you know, if we had to be hacked, then at least we're hacked with a good song. That's the running joke we always deal with, if you like Bruno Mars or not. So one thing about it is that Boston Dynamics is just one of many companies, but it's the largest company that's been around for decades, probably 20, maybe 25 years or so. And its major focus has been focus on robotics completely. And it started out with small robots. The problem with the past robots that we've had is that let's go back all the way even 100 years where there was in science fiction and in stories, there was a promise that technology was going to save everything and that we would live in a utopian world where we didn't have to work and that robots would be doing the work for us. And that has been fortified each year for years and years. You can now take a look at even with the relationships that were developed, because up until Robbie the Robot for Forbidden Planet and Star Wars, they gave the robots personality so that they were relatable so it would not fear, people wouldn't fear that bees were going to harm them in any way. So there's
right.
sort of, so there's been that slow but steady conditioning on expecting that robots are going to do more and more and more. Now,
yes.
the progress of the robot took a long time because if they were too large, too bulky, and the computers were like the size of houses. When
right.
we were able to micro go through micro circuits and nano circuits and then got stronger materials like carbon fibers, that's when the robots were able to get smaller and smaller and doable. Now, I fly radio control airplanes. And because of that, that is the way that we get young people into STEMs and also the different sciences, because the concept is the same. You have a plane, you have servos, you also have gyroscopes, and you also have a transmitter that you use to send radio pulses to the plane or boat or whatever it is to make it do what you want to do. Okay, so this has been ingrained in society for many, 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 many years. It's just that to get it to the size of what it looks like from like a Star Trek or a Star Wars point of view to make it into a humanoid shape, that's been very difficult because otherwise you have had robotic probes go to the planets, okay? You've also had large tanks that could be remotely controlled so that you don't have a crew in there that gets killed because of war, okay? And the biggest thing that has been, as you elegantly and geniusly said, Pastor Jones, is the fact that you have the emotion stuck to it on here your loved one went to war and made the ultimate sacrifice. But then the
right.
other side of it is, had we had robots, your loved one would still be alive because the robot is not a living thing. So that is the tug of war that we have with it. But the other issue is whether we could create robots that could think for themselves, and that is what was elusive for many years until AI. So if you're thinking about, converting extraterrestrial technology or even the focus of it, businesses and organizations like Boston Dynamics have been looking at this stuff 24/7 for the
yes.
past, using the technology for the past 100 years and trying to do everything that it can to mimic what life would be with a robot. Because you've mentioned the different robots. You have the cheetah robot where they studied actual cheetahs. You have the dog robot, which they've studied actual movements of dogs because it was impossible back in the day to have something to get on four legs and actually gallop. So technology and the types of materials used had to evolve in order to get to this point. So now we're at this junction where they finally nip AI to at least the level of a insect to where
wow.
it can do the basic things of if it's going to make an adjustment, it'll make it to the right or to the left. Or if it sees that this is a human, we now have a way of showing what a human face means as opposed to another animal. Where you want to get a little fearful is if AI, as you've seen from ChatGPT, can actually tell a joke and mean it. When you get to that point, then you have something that's getting to the points of self-sentient where it understands exactly how to use humor. The problem that we have still is they put these things together. They still need to have electricity. They still need to have replaceable chips. And if these aren't available, they're just giant paperweights. But that's why when you look at iRobot, the little robots that you use to clean your floors or
yeah.
some of the toys they have, these were all experimental to see if people would accept a robotic dog or people would accept something that doesn't look like a robot but still is a robot. They even can create robots which looks like mosquitoes to do espionage. So we talked about Atlas. That's the humanoid version. But you also have the dog and you also have the tank, but you also have drones, which have been used in the most recent wars, where they're programmed, they carry bombs, and then they turn around, they come back, and they either have their own AI where they're remotely controlled, just like with a radio-controlled airplane. So, and think about the Gulf War. They
right.
were really used in making major bomb runs into the Iraqi airspace and televised when they hit and they were to come back. And this is definitely the wave of the future, because the question comes back, do we send our fellow human beings to die, or is there another way where we can still show our might but also keep our people safe in some way, shape, or form? This, of course, means do we have that political will and maturity to have a security force of robots for neighborhoods, too? Because if it's happening in another country, guess what? I have seen, and we have seen, some of them patrolling, even in New York and Boston, sometimes in California, especially when they're doing with bomb patrol. But the thing
right.
that can happen in the military is that the soldiers become very attached to the robot that's working with them as one of their team members. They even had a memorial for the robot that had saved them constantly from bombs, because it was part of the bomb duty detail. And when it got blown up, it was just like one of the family tasks. Because let's think about it. Your car is remotely controlled by you, but you
That's
give
right.
your car a name. You have other things that you've created, which in and of themselves, you place a personal, emotional attachment to it, because this is something that you've relied on, whether it's your guitar, whether it's your telephone, whatever it is, there is an emotional attachment that you're going to form with this object because you trust it. So when you see Boston Dynamics, they also have a video where they're dancing to the Contours' Do You Love Me?
Yes.
And they are kicking well with that, doing the mashed potato and all this other stuff in general. That hits on the heartstring, because of the fact that you want to have that relationship, and you're saying, my goodness, I can't even get up and do that these days, and look at them go. Wow. Okay? So this is where we come back to the idea of the tool, how we're going to use it. They can be used for some positive things, but they can use for some negative things. But here's the thing that really hits my heart. UPS, of course, is the largest delivery service in the world. However, the Teamsters made sure to tell UPS, at this point in time, don't even think about robotics, right? Don't even think about drones. just pay us, and we will do the work for you. Unless there are circumstances that calls for something that human beings can't do, we will do it. And UPS said yes. So that's being at the table and not being part of the menu. So while we have these situations crop up with the military, and while we could have a Terminator situation, and thanks to James Hudson, if you're thinking about Terminator 2 or any of the robot movies or all these other things in general, this turns dystopian, both are possible. But it comes back down to my question earlier, what is it that we want to do as a society? You've
right.
seen what's going on in China. You're seeing what's going on in other countries. The question is, why are you even doing this? Unless there's a level of insecurity or control or something that you're obsessed with that you want to do for your population out of fear. So this is where Boston Dynamics, all they're doing is creating these technologies. And we have, as you know, the regular mention, corporations that have sinister intent. Once again, the good Lord's looking at us saying, okay, yes, I blessed you with all the good and the bad and not so pretty, and I expect you to be a good steward to make and use discernment to do the right thing. So tag, you're it. Because once it goes left, you know, I'll be there. But again, it's a direction that has happened to other countless civilizations over the years, where we are at this crossroads of whether we go the right way or go the wrong way. And he'll love us anyway, but, you know, what can you do? So that is where – so the other aspect is, You know, you can contact Boston Dynamics and give your feedback. You can contact his politicians and give your feedback on these things. But you can also, if you're seeing them in your neighborhoods or so, talk to the elected officials, talk to your politicians, see how this is going to be used. Be at the table to make sure that you are there to see how these things are done, when they're going to be implemented. Because, again, if there's issues of sniper fire or if we've had, like, these mass shootings overall, they're definitely going to use them in order to minimize police and or casualties. But the question comes up, if these fields, if people aren't actively seeking these fields, like going to the military or going right. into policing, what are you going to do to get people to get to go into these fields if they don't want to go into that? That's the biggest question on going back and teaching and training and conditioning our folks to say, like, yes, I want to serve in some way. I will love wanting to be in law enforcement, and I right. want to go to the military with the idea that I'm making the ultimate sacrifice regardless of whether I'm harmed or I get killed. So this is the question that is really necessary, because otherwise it's easy to say, you don't have to do any of this stuff. Just let our robots take over, and you'll be fine. With that, Pastor Jones, and here's the other sinister thing coming up with robotics. There's a thing called robo-sapiens, where people, as you know, we are already cyborgs with our phones. But then people yeah. might replace their parts with robotic attachments. And the worst thing that can happen is they're also thinking about, and they also probably have already done it, figuring out how to way to download a person's consciousness and put it into robotic intelligence. So that means right. if you become a full cyborg, you will live forever, even though you might be attached to a battery or solar or whatever in general, because in the future, if there's a space travel or so, the human body doesn't do well in space. So it might be a situation where they either genetically change the body or make it into a robotic cyborg-type body so it can endure the radiation that's there. So we'll see what the future is, but once again, Pastor Jones, the Boston Dynamics is one of many. Keep your eye on them and stay at that table, because you want to make sure that you are involved in making the final decision. So I yield back to you.
Let's give a big hand to Professor Reams.
Professor Reams.
Yes, thank you, Professor Reams. Wow. You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Our topic at this time is Boston Dynamics is building a super robot army. They have a robot called Big Dog. They got one big called Big Dog 2, the Cheetah, Spot Robot, Sparta Robot, the Mud Robot, the Atlas Military Robot, which I showed you, and you saw with your own eyes what these robots can and are capable of doing. They have also this robot will make soldiers obsolete. And like I said, in some countries where the people can't hardly walk anymore, they have robots to carry them. They have a security robot at the hospital. And matter of fact, the LAPD just used their Big Dog robot to apprehend a suspect who took over a bus in downtown Los Angeles. They called all the officers back, put them all behind the vehicles. Big Dog went in there and apprehended the suspect, and told the suspect, if you do not cooperate, I will laser you or whatever needs to be done. And the guy came out by the robot. So they're already using the Big Dog robot in the police departments, and they're also using the Spot robot, which can walk and carry cameras and spot you. And it also has all kinds of different ways that it can be used. It can climb up over walls. They got one that can... It could go, if it can't get over the wall, it'll pop and jump over the wall, land and reestablish itself and keep on going. They're relentless. You don't have to feed them. You don't have to, you know, they don't need a break. They don't have to go to the restroom. They are relentless. And we're talking about Boston Dynamics. So look up Boston Dynamics. Oh, we got a caller. Caller in the 786-714 area code. Are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning, Cousin V.
In Florida.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it is Cousin V. Everybody say hi to Cousin V.
Cousin V. Woo-hoo.
Hey, Cousin V.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, Cousin V.
Yes, afternoon here in Florida with the sun shining after all that rain last week and flooding.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear how the Miami Dolphins are doing, but not now. We'll talk about them in a little while. But meanwhile, hold that thought. We're talking about robot armies, and some companies that I don't want to name them. They already own thousands of these robots already. They're all being made by Boston Dynamics, and other companies are making robots too. Some companies are making robots that have skin just like ours. Everything, eyeballs, mouth, everything can talk to you, look at you. They will evolve on their own through artificial intelligence. Are you ready for that? With that being said, Cousin V, what do you think about the new robots that are coming out that are going to be walking up and down the street, driving cars and doing everything else?
I don't know. I'm not. I mean, we may not be ready for it, but it's happening because I was in Sam's the other day. And I saw the robot keeping the floor clean. So you know how you go in a lot of stores and places and you see stuff all over the floor? Not there, because that robot was keeping it clean. You know, you didn't have to worry about trying to find out if somebody's sitting around on a break not keeping the store in tip-top shape. So I'm seeing it here. And then I also heard about the restaurants that have robots that taking orders for you, so
yes, and bringing your food.
Yeah, and bring the food, and we just have to get used to it. Then the drone that's going to be delivering packages, also.
Yeah, you got drones that deliver packages and drop them off. Matter of fact, Michael Jordan was out on the golf court, and a drone came and brought his lunch, landed down, dropped his lunch off, and flew back off like it was nothing. Ooh. So. Yeah, get ready. With that being said, I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, what do you think about all these robots that are coming in and taking over? What do you think?
Well, in some ways, it's a good thing. In other ways, I'm like, oh, my. Because you just mentioned about LAPD using as apprehending a suspect. So in that mm-hmm. manner, yes, that would be great.
Wow. Now I want to send a big shout out to my cousin Angela. Hey, cousin Angela, how are you? From me and all the family, everybody say hello to cousin Angela.
Good morning, cousin Angie.
Good morning, Angela.
Love you, Angie.
Good morning, cousin Angela.
Yeah, and also let's send a big shout out to Pastor Elaine. Hey, Pastor Elaine, everybody shout out Pastor Elaine.
Good morning, Pastor Elaine.
Good morning, Pastor Elaine.
Yeah. So, you know, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We're talking about robots. We're about to go into our regular segment in just a few minutes. I want to go to Clarence M. Allen. Well, wait a minute. Pastor Elaine said drones and robots can be good for only something, not for everything. And she also said this robots are scary. We need to boycott. And because a lot of people saying the robots are going to take everybody's jobs. And let me tell you something. A lot of these companies have robots right now that are doing other people's jobs. Because, like I said, if you're going to be taking off every other day, oh, you know what, I'm calling in sick. Robots don't call in sick. Robots don't need a vacation. You don't have to do vacation pay with a robot. Robot doesn't need a union. A robot's not going to be talking back to you, telling you why they don't want to do that job. Pastor Elaine said, good morning, everyone, and all you beautiful people. So that's just some food for thought. I want to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. What do you think about Boston Dynamics and all the robots, the super robot army they're building? And what do you think about the topic itself? Go right ahead, Clarence M. Allen.
Yes. First, I want to say something that Professor Reams made me think about. He made me think about there is only two places at the table, either lying on the plate or sitting at the chair. That's some food for thought. So with these robots, you know, they've been here, but now we're being more informed about them, being more exposed. You know, they're in our cars. We look on these phones, they tell us what to do and help us with directions and get information. It's
all this is connected. This is microchip enslavement into the Boston Dynamic robot. And they're not the only one doing this. This is just one we're just covering this morning. And, you know, you was mentioning, Pastor Eddie, about the robot dog with the LAPD. I believe they may have purchased two of those dogs before I left California, I believe I heard in mm-hmm. the media news. And so with these robots, man, there's a good side and bad. It's always two edges on a sword. So, you know, whether they're going to be used for good or people going to monopolize that robot to take care of their greedy nature, you know, their sinister nature. And so it can be a good thing that being used in surgery rooms to help doctors get to that exact precise point in the body for surgery. And so there is just so much with this information that we can accumulate, we can learn from, and even we can apply for ourselves to our advantage for this information. So we got to get involved with this. We have to educate ourselves, prepare our families, because it's here. It's not going nowhere. This is just the beginning. I can't imagine 20 years from now what it's going to be like. You know, the skies are going to be filled with drones, and the grounds are going to be in offices, and workplaces are going to be, like you said, that drone is not going to get tired. Like Professor Reen said, you just have to plug him up and re-energize him, and he's going again. And last but not least, there are several movies that came to my mind. One was with Will Smith, AI, and they had to fight. The old robots had to fight the new robots along with the people. And then it made me think Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator, how that movie expanded with the AI, the microchips, and the robots and all of this technology. And like it was said, this that we see on TV, I believe Brother James Hudson said, just because we see it on TV doesn't mean it's not here. It's here. It's just to prepare right. us. And like I said, we are programmed and processed by this television, by music, by the news, by the media, by everything that we see, hear, and experience. We get programmed to be ready whether you know it or not. So, Pastor Eddie, man, this Monday, man, I tell you, you haven't missed Nan Target. Every shot was center mass. You hit bullseyes. You kick field goals. You throw touchdowns. You hit shots from way downtown and slam dunk. Thank you, Pastor Eddie.
Thank you so much. Give a big hand for Clarence. He's out there putting it on.
Thank you.
Well, it is now 10:32 a.m. on this wonderful, beautiful Monday, November the 20th, 2023. Can everybody please, let's give a big shout-out to my Auntie Gloria. Let's give her a big hand. Everybody give her a shout-out. Say hi, Auntie Gloria. All the way down
Gloria,
there.
Auntie Gloria, we love you.
Hello, Auntie Gloria.
Hello, Auntie Gloria.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Clarence.
If I can say this one little short thing, the rocket that was launched by SpaceX blew up.
Yeah, I heard about
it. A little farther. And that has also to do with these two topics. So, you know, it's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that article the other day. I read that article. Thank you, Auntie Gloria. She sent hearts to all of us. I read that article about the – and I keep up with – you know, I'm really into robots, and I'm really into AI, artificial intelligence, because it is the future. And we cannot stop it, and we will not stop it, because it will evolve on its own. And that's why it's going to get to the point where it won't need human beings to help it evolve. It'll do it on its own. We got robots in the surgical room. We got robots in the manufacturing companies. We have robots in putting together vehicles. We got robots putting together airplanes. We got robots putting medication in bottles. Robots are everywhere now. Be careful. You might be talking to a robot. You never know. They have all kinds of robots. They even have robots to keep kids company now. You know, they can play with the robot. And the robot can go and get a drink and bring a drink back. It can do a lot of stuff. And all you do is program the robot, let it go, and it evolves based on your algorithms. That's right. Well, with that being said, it's time to get into our regular segment. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And I want to get, but before we do that, Talana Jones, take the floor, tell us what you feel about these robots, and then as soon as you get through with that, go right into words of wisdom, because we need some words of wisdom. But first, give us your cue on the robots. Wait, before you do, Hollis Bauer said, so if we don't work anymore, who's going to pay for all the products out in the world? They want to just give us credits for purchasing. Remember the movie with Matt Damon, Elijah, let's see, I want to finish reading this. They were all working for credits. Now that's one of the rumors. I'm so glad you brought that up really quick. Excellent, excellent, excellent. And not only that, you're so right. But guess what? I don't want to speak too soon. But for what I understand, when all the robots take over, the government's going to put everybody on a salary. And you'll be getting paid by the government. And when you're getting paid by the government, that means you're going to take the chip and you will be controlled by the government. Wow, that's another topic for the show. Thank you, Mr. Bowers, for bringing that very pertinent, important information to the show. Talana, please take the floor and give us your take on the robots and then go into words of wisdom. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Dad. I don't really have too much to say. I do understand that we have evolved into technology. So it's really preparing ourselves for the future of what robotics is going to look like. And it sounds like it's already being taken over. What I've heard through the show is it kind of reminds me of when they emancipated the first AI. And when she became emancipated and was respected and, you know, I would say as a human almost, that she had human abilities and human feelings and emotions, and her mental capacity had evolved to the point past her AI capacity. So what it says to me is that we all are going to eventually have to learn to either adapt to the AI technology, or I think it'll be two different types of communities, Dad, to be honest. It'll be the people who are not like they have in the movie Total Recall. If you guys recall that movie, that's also something that reminds me of the bottoms and the people who are air up, who are taking care of the city and the community, and the ones who just comply will be able to stay above, and then the ones who do not comply, they will be treated as such, and it's just not fair. So for people who are not prepared and are not ready and don't want, you know, the evolvement of technology, I don't think it's going to be fair for them personally. But if you're okay with the prerogative of evolvement with technology, then get ready, because it's coming. It's pretty much all, like I heard Cousin V and everybody on the panel say, it's here. And how we work together, I think, moving forward will also dictate the future of the universe, the world, period. So with that being said, I yield from that specific comment. Thank you for letting me share. Today, for words of wisdom, I'm going to keep it very short. But I think that the words that I have to share today are intel to wisdom, things that I really feel that we it should be noticed more, but not always now because of how I believe the pandemic has separated us, or the coronavirus has stemmed so many people to stay away or become distant.
Mm.
Don't forget wisdom. Don't forget teachable moments. And especially, we're never going to get to, you know, the nostalgia that we have is pretty much all we have that, and that, like, that's it. When it comes to keeping memories and treasuring the things that we are used to or were before, they're replacing a lot of what we used to see with new things. And I just believe in tradition still. Even though some traditions have been evolved and changed, I still believe that the foundational tradition stands. So I pray you enjoy this. A masterpiece of wisdom, legendary teachable moments, and lessons learned. Not going backwards, dedicating one moment at a time to the patterns of life's journey. Release all fears and go forward with destiny in mind. Your purpose is to give the world the gift of you in position, serving as warriors for Jesus and his glory. Take no prisoners on the battlefield for peaceful freedom, carrying on the knowledge of our ancestors and elders. Remember the placement or position you have. Be unbreakable, unshakable, Holy Ghost power filled with tenacity and greatness. Thank you for letting me share, and have a great rest of y'all day. Bye-bye.
Oh, Shalana, that was great. That was good words of wisdom. Excellent words of wisdom.
Well said.
Well said.
All right, Kamana.
That was really good words of wisdom. Now, how Brother Hollis said, what's the reason movie makers are so aware and some group is showing us what they're planning? Now, they always do this with the, like when they came out with the Ebola virus and they did a movie about the Ebola virus, and next thing you know, the Ebola virus came out. They're always doing movies on robots, intelligence. Yes, you hit the nail on the head, Brother Hollis. They're always doing something. And we want to, let's just, you know, we want to remember, never to forget. They're up on it because they want to share with the people and then break us. They want to break you in easy to get you aware and acceptable of these new things that they want to bring to us without pouring it all on us at once, and then we don't know how to respond to it. So they, you know, they just sprinkle a little bit at a time through movies, through all kind of commercials, which send out subliminal messages to get into your mind. With that being said, it is time. It is time for we're gonna do the sports report after we do health and wellness. Health and wellness with Vera Jones. Go ahead, Vera, take the floor. Give us health and wellness.
Thank you, Eddie. So today I would like to share with you how I embrace Thanksgiving. As a holiday, it comes close to the end of the year, and I really enjoy memories of the past as a child growing up. And today I am so thankful because I spend every single day by honoring the fruits of the Spirit, which I mentioned last week, which are gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, patience, peace, joy, but most of all, love. Now, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. I enjoy getting together with family, friends, and sharing gratitude with the elders and the young ones, the young children. I'm grateful today because God woke me up again to get started on another day here on earth. So do you have a menu plan yourself? And are you hosting? And if so, begin with the decoration. I love the autumn colors. And don't get stressed. Read Hebrews 11:3, and that's on faith. And while you're out and about, pick up some fresh flowers or plants. And don't forget to get your air purifier out. And another great memory that we had was we always had lots of fresh fruit around and nuts. And we could crack them with the nutcracker, but we had to clean up the pieces afterwards. So make that you have plenty of take-home containers, that will be a plus, too, because you can't keep it all yourself. And I'm grateful for most is that God created us with our senses, hearing for laughter, our taste for some delicious food, our sight to see life, our touch to give someone a hug, and smell the aroma of the enticing food. Now, some of my favorites is basting and cooking the turkey, chopping and cooking up greens enough for an army, green beans, yams, different salads, homemade sweet potato pies, cornbread dressing, making the fresh cranberries, lemon squares, cake, double chocolate cake, macaroni and cheese is my favorite. Now, we all know we must eat in moderation and chew our food well for best digestion. And afterwards, you can sip on some mint tea or peppermint, lemongrass for digestions. That would help. And I wanted to mention, as a child, one of my favorite things was, when I wasn't cooking just yet, was to lick the bowl after Mom had prepared that cake. Yeah, we would kind of fuss and fight, get in line to lick that bowl with the cake mix batter. So if you can, gather, sing karaoke, have a Soul Train line dance, tell some jokes, enjoy comedy, play some board games, listen to your oldies, and pray together. And before the day is over, make sure that you can all gather in a circle and speak about what you're grateful for. And in closing, treat others the way you desire to be treated, like sharing a plate with someone, whether they're sick, shut in, disabled, a neighbor, or even the homeless. Oh, and by the way, refresh your home by boiling some cinnamon sticks with green apples, rosemary, and oregano. Another one, this is my favorite, cinnamon powder and the essential oil with some fresh flowers, with lemon, orange, a zest of vanilla, a zest of an orange or the lemon itself, some fresh vanilla with cloves. Now, that's my favorite to smell. And then if there is someone sick around and you want to make sure you cleanse your house, why not boil some lavender, frankincense, or myrrh, eucalyptus, sage, basil with thyme. And last but not least is a soy candle. And whatever you do is to embrace Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is every single day. And don't forget, as Professor Reams mentioned, do the mashed potatoes. That's my segment for today.
Wow. Okay, let's give a big hand for sure.
Dr. Granny V, the doctor has spoken. No mashed potato.
Wow. After all of that food, I'm getting hungry. I was imagining eating all of that. I could see the dressing and everything, and the corn on the cob and the chocolate cake and licking the bowl from the cake being made. Matter of fact, Evangelist Elaine said, wow, Vera, you got to lick that bowl, she said, and then she put some hearts up there. She said, good job, Vera. That was our health and wellness with Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, on our show. And without further ado, it is time for the sports report for all you sports enthusiasts out there who are following the Rams and whoever else. It's time for the sports report. Cousin V, all the way from Florida, take the floor. Give us the sports report.
Well, I'm glad to be back. I had to do two orientations on two different jobs. I thank God for that. One is at a hospital and one is at a long-term care facility. As you know, I always start out with a little bit of news, and we want to say a prayer for all these families, because in the past week, our legendary basketball coach, Bob Knight, died at 83. And then also Dick Buckus, a famous linebacker. He died at age 80. We want to say a prayer for, it's just hard because these kids, they're only 35. They're only my child's age, and I can just imagine what their parents are still going through. Devin Wiley, he was 35 years old. He played for Fresno State before being drafted to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he died in the past few weeks or 3 days. also NFL player, former Jaguars DJ Hayden, and six others, and two of them were from the University of Houston. They all died in Houston in a motor vehicle accident. Then also Mike Williams, 36. He was with Tampa Bay and the Buffalo Bills. He was a wide receiver. He died during construction. And then we want to pray for this past weekend for our quarterbacks that went down on the field, because I know that's hard for all the fans to see. In week 12, the Colorado quarterback, Shedeur Sanders. And we also want to pray for Florida State quarterback, Jordan Travis. They both were hospitalized, but they're doing okay. Thank God for that. And then after week 12, we have our Heisman Trophy rank down to two clear leaders, and that would be the quarterback from Oregon State, and that would be Bo Nix, and LSU, Jaden Daniels. And so I have some college football scores for you. In week 12, it was Toledo over Bowling Green, 32-31. Penn State beat Rutgers, 27-6. Tulane over Atlantic, 24-8. Mississippi over L.A. Monroe, 35-3. Michigan,
their coach, Jim Harbaugh, is in trouble. He's suspended for 3 games, but they still won in his honor, and they said it was in his honor because he couldn't be with them. So they beat Maryland 31-24. Oklahoma University beat BYU 31-24. Louisville came to our home and beat the University of Miami Hurricanes 38-31. Alabama all over Chattanooga 66-10. And then Liberty. Liberty is undefeated. That is, there's a Christian school. They beat the University of Mass, and they're undefeated. They beat them 49-25. Appalachian State beat James Madison 26-23. Georgia Bulldogs and Tennessee, that was the game of the week on TV. Georgia beat them 38-10. Arizona beat Utah 42-18. Iowa over Illinois 15-13. Notre Dame all over and almost shut out Wake Forest 45-7. Oklahoma State over University of Houston 43-30. Ohio State, they call it the Ohio State, they almost shut out Minnesota. They beat them 37-3. Then we have Oregon over Arizona State, 49-13. Florida State all over North Alabama, 58-13. Then our Gators, they lost to number 10 Missouri, 33-31. So, you know, when you got scores like that, you know, you just standing at the game, you ain't sitting down for those. And then Kansas State beat Kansas, the famous Kansas, 31-27. Washington beat Oregon, 22-20. And Texas, they beat Iowa State, 26-16. And LSU all over Georgia State was 56-14. Wow. And then in the NBA, because I know Eddie loves his NBA, we had the 76ers over the Nets, 121-99. That was on Sunday. And then we had the Raptors over the Pistons, 142-113. These are some high-scoring games. They're getting up close to 200 nowadays with all these threes. And then we had the Magic over the Pacers, 128-116. The Cavaliers over the Nuggets, 121-109. The Mavericks lost to the Kings, 129-113. In final overtime, the Jazz lost to the Sun. That's so funny because the Sun over the Jazz. Anyway, it's 140-137. The Celtics beat the Grizzlies 102-100. The Thunder beat the Trailblazers 134-91. The Lakers beat the Rockets by 1 point, and that was 105-104. And then we have our NFL, and I wanted to welcome Clarence and Ed Lombard to our home and our stadium for the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Miami Dolphins, and I will give you that score in a minute. But on last Thursday, the Bengals lost to the Ravens on Thursday Night Football 34-20. And then on Sunday, we came back. The Cowboys beat the Panthers 33-10. The Steelers lost to the Browns 13-10. The Bears lost to the Lions 31-26. And the Chargers lost by 3 points to the Packers 23-20. The Cardinals lost to Houston Texans are just showing out this year because, as you know, they were one of those teams like the Cleveland Browns and the Bengals. They used to not win any game, but the Texans are on the road. They are 6-4 in the season. They beat the Cardinals at 21-16. Then the Titans lost to the Jaguars 34-20. My Miami Dolphins beat the Raiders 20-13. The Giants beat the Commanders. Washington was on the road. They're now 4-7. They started out a really good season, but now they're 4-7 on the season. And they lost to, out of all people, New York Giants 31-19. San Francisco 49ers beat the Buccaneers 27-14. The Buffalo Bills all over the Jets. And, you know, they were fighting on the field. And I just really want to tell them, you know, our kids are watching y'all.
That's right.
Is not how we're playing football. We're not in a boxing or a wrestling match. So they need to start getting their better composure. But the Bills beat them 32-6. The Seahawks lost to the Rams by 1 point. So the Rams, 4-6 on the season, they beat the Seahawks 17-16. The Broncos beat the Vikings by 1 point. Hats off to Russell Wilson because he was having a really bad season. And, you know, when you go to a new team, people tend to talk about you, give you a hard time. But they beat the Vikings by 1 point, 21-20. Tonight, it will be the Kelce brothers once again. And we saw them in the Super Bowl. So it will be tonight at 8:15 p.m. You can, and it's Eastern Standard Time. You can see it on all ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Plus, ABC, and ESPN Deportes if you speak Spanish. So it will be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles tonight in Monday Night Football. This is my sports report. Y'all have a blessed week.
All right, let's give a big hand for our Cousin V with the sports report.
Cousin V.
We love you, Cousin V.
Now, I don't want you to go anywhere because we still have Regulate the Manual with Clarence M. Allen. And, of course, we have Professor Reams with the commentary. So we'll probably go over just a few minutes because I want you to get Regulate the Manual. And I definitely want you to get the commentary because the commentary tells you all about our show. Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Regulate the Manual.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to all our wonderful listeners throughout the state, nation, and around the world. Once again, we are in tune to the world's greatest Monday morning radio show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Show. And I've been closing out, started closing out the year this month with a great evil curse, a great evil spell that was cast by slave owners, that was cast by captors to put upon their slaves and especially their descendants. This was a letter that was created and released back in the year of 1712, and it's still valid today. So as I read this letter, just think about all the dissensions that especially we as blacks have with each other, how we don't trust each other and, you know, sometimes we hate each other and sometimes we're even divided. And Willie Lynch, he asked them to do this. He said, these methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little test of differences and think about them. On top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There's intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slave live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or as tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I will give you an outline of action. But before I do that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-fueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old male versus the young black male and the young black male against the old black male. You must use dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves and the light-skinned slave versus the dark-skinned slave. You must use the female versus the male and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all blacks, but it is necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, these kids are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's make a slave. It was in the interest and business of the slave owners to study human nature, and the slave nature in particular, with a view of practical results. And I and many of them attained astonishing proficiency in this direction. They had to deal not with earth, wood, and stone, but with men. And by every regard they had for their own safety and prosperity, they needed to know the material on which they were to work. Conscious of the injustice and the wrong they were every hour perpetuating and knowing what they themselves would do. Were they the victim of such wrongs? Were they constantly looking for the first sign of dreaded retribution? And I will continue with the next page next week. But Google up this Willie Lynch letter. It may be hard to find now because there are just some things that they don't want us to know and remember because they have severed our history from our motherland. Thank you.
Well, let's give Clarence M. Allen a big hand for that.
All right, proper Clarence.
So regular. Super.
Thank you.
Now we have come to the a very important part of the show, and every part of our show is important. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. It is time for the commentary. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, a brilliant, brilliant program today, which has elevated our thoughts about what's going to happen within society and our future. And it's and once again, thank you for the platform where we all get our 15 minutes of fame to make our points, testimonies, but also show how the good Lord is working with us all. And with this week of Thanksgiving, I hope that all take time to be thankful for the things that you have and reflect and be with your families and also enjoy the times that you're having, because this is what it really means to be connected with someone, to be human, to have that gift of God, to be able to be passionate, as you know, Dr. Granny B says, all the wonderful things of being gentle, being self-controlled, kindness, peaceful, joy, and also loving. So the program began with a wonderful honoring of Wilson Smith Carter, who epitomized the virtues of the things that she and President Carter were doing well at the time in their presidency, but also afterwards, because they became a symbol of things that could be possible when folks take the time to care, to show love, to be gentle. And, of course, we've had the wonderful things she did with health, dealing with mental health, and also equal rights and her fight for social justice over the years. So to contrast that, we move to the chips and then to robotics. And so let's go around the room first to give our thanks to everyone. So we're grateful for everyone, for Cousin V, for the sports report, thankful for Clarence Allen for opening our eyes, for the Willie Lynch memo to keep us interested and in understanding how we are here at this point and the trust and distrust that we've got over the years. To Dr. Granny V for reminding us of the things I've just mentioned. And also, it's a hard act to follow when you listen to all those wonderful things just before the lunch period. So like Pastor Jones folding up all the different foods that you're talking about, I definitely am going to enjoy this week of the wonderful food that you suggested. And then to Talana, you knocked out of the ballpark again. And, of course, with the words of wisdom reminding us of all the virtues and things that we need to continue to do in order for us to have a more fulfilling life. Melanie Aubrey, I give a shout-out. Dr. Aretha Jones-Adams, a shout-out. To Linda Goldie, a shout-out for Poetry Motion. To Pastor Ramsey, again, I give a shout-out, and our prayers are with him of speedy recovery. And then to James Hudson for adding in the wonderful sci-fi movie element, which gets to our next topics overall. So we talked about the chips, but let's go back to this whole situation of God and creation, because at this point, we have moved into the level where we've had example of the good Lord creating us. Now we're in the process of creating something else, what would be artificial life, if you want to call it that. And in the question that I always ask to all of my colleagues is that just because we can do it, should we? And if we do do it, do we have the maturity to operate it and use it as a tool for good as opposed to tools for sinister purposes, as Clarence, the regulator, has shared with us? And in this question, we talked about how it would be implemented of having the chip in placed in, under the skin, but also the positives and negatives. And we concluded that, yes, we do not want the chips because the good Lord placed in us the opportunities to have a fulfilling life without someone overseeing, because it then looks as though you have man replacing God as the overseer of everybody's life, which has always been the battle that God has had with humans on humans wanting to be like God and have the same control and power that he has because of that dynamic. And in doing so, the chip just adds to the fire of what the issues are. And if we were as loving as we could be, something like the chip wouldn't even be imagined or even thought of, because, yes, it does have its good policies, good aspects of it, but there's also the negatives that's there. And we're always at a crossroads where some will use it as they believe it should be, which will be greedily wise to their own benefit, or it will be a general help. We are in that position that God has placed us, that since you're going to go in this direction of trying to be me, now you need to make the hard decision on what's going to happen. Because the consequences for, as I said before, there will be consequences for each of the decisions that we make. So take the time and make the decisions wisely. Otherwise, that's who you'll be praying to get you out of the mess that you put yourself into. And then I'm going to have to tell you I told you so, and then we move on with the next journey between us. So the chip is just one aspect of it. AI is the next thing because, again, we get to the science fiction of iRobot, Terminator, 2001's HAL, Elysium, which had Matt Damon in it, but also Total Recall and, for us who remember it, the Jetsons, which talked about robotics, where we had a full society of what technology would be able to do for us, giant screens. We're talking on the phone, but we also have picture phones, escalators, all of these wonderful things that will come to us, and even the example of Magic Johnson, pardon me, Michael Jordan receiving his lunch by a drone is everything that you've seen in that cartoon happening on a regular basis. So from childhood all the way up, we have been conditioned to think that a better world can be created with the help of robotics. However, the harsh reality is if we haven't matured and found the grace and mercy that the good Lord wants us to have in being able to make mature decisions, then this is just another tool that can become a disaster because of its ill use. So now we move to robotics. with the robot going on, we've now created an automaton, which it can look like a human being or it can look like anything that we want it to. The problem being is that if it becomes sentient, it has its own self-awareness, are we now going to have the same conversations that we're having with our own kids on what it means to be alive? And yes, because we do this with God through prayer. Because the question you ask, why did you make me? And, of course, Dr. Granny V reminds us that God doesn't make mistakes. All right. Well, if the AI is going to ask us, why did you make me? The answer is because I could is not going to be satisfying. And in many of these science fiction, it shows how the robot will reject its makers and decide that I'm smarter, faster, and more able. So we need to move you out of the way because of the things that you gave me. So, again, we're at the crossroads with iRobot, we're at the crossroads with Terminator, and we're at the crossroads on how we're going to deal with life. We can take the Rosalind Carter, Jesus Christ, and God method of moving forward and moving together as a tool and team, or we can take the dystopian future of robot overlords and people controlling your lives and destroying whatever freedoms that you thought because of their own selfish, greedy control. The choice is up to us. But when you look at definitely with the way that the word of wisdom is a communication has got to be paramount. And that's why I always say, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So it means that you have to communicate, you have to educate, you have to also research and do everything that you can so that you are part of the solution and not part of the problem, because that is exactly what's going to go on. The good Lord says you can create whatever you want, but I created you and created the world and created everything like that. Really? Then you will have to take the responsibility for your decisions. And in doing so, this is where it's best to not bet against God, because the direction he's going to take us will show us how best to use these technologies wisely as opposed to the detriment of all life. And if we do that, then that would be one of the other things that for this week we can be grateful for, of having a God that loves us and that reflects with us and allows us to explore these things while receiving his grace and mercy and his love during this journey. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amazing. Let's give a big hand.
Amazing, Professor Reed.
Professor Reed.
You all wow. Provide a lot of information. Well done, everyone.
Wow, that was amazing. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. Let me give you our word of the week and our scripture of the week, and thank you guys for the hearts. Keep sending them. Let me give you our word of the week and our scripture of the week. Our word of the week is communication. Communication is our word of the week. And whether we're communicating through robots, cell phones, wireless technology, but we will always be communicating. That is our word of the week. Use it in your own way. Our scripture of the week, it has to do with our mouth, because sometimes we say things and we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak, because God says in the mouth is life and death is on the tongue. So our scripture of the week is Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, and it reads, "But now you yourselves are to put off malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." The word of God for the people of God. I'm going to read that one more time. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. "But now you yourselves are to put off malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." So that was what my sermon was about yesterday, that I did called The Church, which we come on every Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And our sermon yesterday was an amazing sermon. And the topic was hear and understand. And the subject was you better watch your mouth. And the sermon was what is coming out of your mouth. And it came out of Colossians. But now we also put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication out of our mouth. So this week I want you to be careful of what you say, because you could say something to hurt somebody and not even realize you said it until something happens. And then it's too late to say I'm sorry because you already spurted it out your mouth. So let that be your word of the week is communication and how to do it in a wonderful, positive manner. And our scripture of the week, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. With that being said, I have three things to say to you. Number one, the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. Number two, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And number three, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Normally we go out on Marvin Gaye, What's Happening. I don't own the rights to these words, but I want to sing them to you. Rockets, moonshots, spending on the have-nots, money, we make it before we steal, you take it. Oh, make me wanna holler, went into my life. Make me wanna holler, went into my life. This ain't living. No, baby, this ain't living. No. That's Marvin Gaye. I don't own the rights to that song, but it make you wanna holler and throw up both your hands. And the last part of it says, crime is increasing. Trigger happy policing. Panic is spreading. And God knows where we're heading. La, 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 la. La 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 la. You remember that song? It's called Make Me Wanna Holler and Throw Up Both My Hands by Marvin Gaye. And that's just where we are now. So God bless you, God keep you, and the best is yet to come. Take care. See you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving
and happy birthday, Devin. Happy birthday, Sean. And to my sister, Josh. I love you guys.
Happy birthday.
All the November birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Thanksgiving. I love everybody and happy Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise God. From whom all blessings flow. All right.